You are here for another episode of the Rock Live Podcast. Hey, you're going to want to stay tuned all the way through. If you have ever dealt with disappointment, if you've ever been frustrated, let down, hurt, man, we are going to talk about this today. We're going to see what the Word of God has to say, and I believe you're going to be encouraged. My name is Antonio, and I am here with Pastor Brian.
Hey.
Pastor Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. It's always great to have a great conversation. And I think, you know, when we talk about conversations or we go over things in our heads, I know sometimes we like to at least have an idea of where we're going, but it's always so easy to get, you've just gone through it and you have so many great experiences and you've come on the other side of so much with so much hope and encouragement. I know you have a great, just a great insight to offer today. So today we are going to be talking about disappointment. There's this scripture that comes to mind in Proverbs. Maybe you've heard it in different translated. I'll just read it for the sake of our conversation.
I'm just hoping people aren't disappointed that I'm on here.
No, never, Pastor Brian. Never, Pastor
just
Brian.
Just kidding.
Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. You know, you know, we can dissect that in a million different ways, but I think just the first part of that verse, the idea that a hope deferred or a disappointment, something that you were hoping to get and having to wait on it, or it didn't come when you want, didn't happen how you thought it would happen, that can make our heart sick, or something in our soul just doesn't feel right. How would you define disappointment, just to kind of kick us off?
You know, I think one of the things just to point out is there's going to be more opportunities for disappointment than not. Mm-hmm. And I think going through life, because we have our plans, yeah. God has his plans.
Yeah.
And sometimes our focus is so much on what we see that we don't see the big picture, right?
Yeah.
We don't know what God's doing. And I think that's the hardest part sometimes, is we don't understand fully what's going to happen through our disappointment, how God wants to use it, who he's going to reach out to during that process. And so, it's real easy to get disappointed. Looking for a job, expecting a promotion,
yeah.
Wanting to buy a home, trying mm-hmm. to get a loan,
yeah.
right? Going down to buy a car. I mean, recently with a family member, and it's kind of like they had their boxes that they wanted to check, right? Mm-hmm. You got the color that you want, the features that you want. You end up going home, you're excited you got another car, but it's like, I'm a little disappointed I didn't get the color I wanted.
Yeah,
I'm a little
yeah.
disappointed that it didn't have this feature, right? And so that always ends up happening. But I feel like when it comes to disappointment, you know, the enemy always wants to try to jump in and use disappointment as something that gets us discouraged. And I think that's where, you know, we have to be very careful when it comes to disappointment, that we don't allow disappointment to become discouragement.
Yeah.
Because discouragement is what tends to put us off now to where we start to allow the enemy to have more room to rent in our head than anything else. And I think one of the things that I usually like to do is use the disappointments to fuel me. You know, I think it's so important, because a lot of times what happens is like, okay, well, this didn't happen, mm-hmm. right? I'm going for this promotion, I didn't get it, right? Okay, so what do I need to do to make sure that I put myself into a position for the next time there's a job available that I'm the most qualified person?
Yeah.
Right? What is it that I'm going to do if I'm looking to buy a car and I didn't get the loan that I want, or looking to buy a home and I didn't get the loan that I want? And so I'm going to be disappointed. Well, why didn't it happen? Well, because your FICO score wasn't what it was supposed to be. All right. So how do I fix that?
Yeah.
Right. What do I do to put myself in the best position as possible to not have the disappointment again the next time?
Well, I want to pause you right there. Cause
yeah.
What you're doing is what I think where some of us can struggle. See, because you have been trained by years of faith and practice and overcoming some of these things that you've already, maybe you didn't even know it. You're going into what was the disappointment, identifying it, and then fixing it. And I don't know that everyone always knows how to get there. There's either not honest self-assessment, right? Because it's going to be someone else's fault.
Yeah.
Right. But you're saying, well, maybe my FICO score, you're looking inside. But that takes some training, because I don't think that's our natural tendency.
Yeah.
And so let's just rewind a little bit to kind of go through maybe some of the stages of from the initial disappointment. How long can I just be, you know, I don't know about anybody else. I've been in a couple of loud bouts of fellowship with my wife. And sometimes in there, it's just like, I feel like she's mad. I'm like, why are you mad? Why are you mad? Why are you mad? Let's fix it. Like, you know, you get into that, let's fix it. And she said stuff to me that just like, Can I just be mad? Can I just feel mad? Am I allowed to just, it didn't happen the way I wanted. Just let me, don't try to fix it sometimes. And so to me, it speaks to more of maybe there is a process to the level of this. And how do we, what's a healthy process though? What would scripture have, what would God say about this? And how are we supposed to do this? Because I'm sure there's disappointments. And again, this is, you're just talking now out of your practice and out of what's in you, right? But I'm sure we all know people, and there are certain things that we don't so easily assess, right? That we kind of, you know, wallow in the disappointment. So what else, what would you say to that? The person who's maybe just in that first level, that first place of the disappointment just happened and it hurt,
yeah,
and it's frustrating and it's hard and I don't know what to do.
I think one of the main things is you have to take time to process that disappointment. And I think, you know, first of all, what is it that is causing you to feel so disappointed in that moment, mm-hmm, right? It's interesting you talk about, I do get disappointed when my wife's frustrated and I can't fix it.
Yeah.
Right? Because as her husband, I want to fix it. I want to do what I got to do. And Melissa's told me the same thing. I just need you to listen right now. Yeah. I don't need you to fix my problems. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know how to do that, but I'll just listen. And then if listening is fixing it, but see, that's outside of what I'm comfortable with doing. Mm-hmm. So I tend not to go that route. But I think assessing why we're so disappointed. You know, I always joke with my wife too. When she gives me a honey-do list and I finish my honey-do list, I feel so accomplished. But then I get disappointed because I feel like she has another list for me the second I get done. Mm. And I'm like, you didn't even let me relish in the fact that I did it.
Yeah.
Right. Before you gave me another assignment. She's like, no, babe, I'm just so excited that you did it that I can't wait to give you something else to do. Yeah. Like, I'm helping you. Right. It's all how we look at things. But I think trying to do the, you know, it's funny because when you step back and look, what is it that I'm so disappointed about? Right. Mm-hmm. Because am I disappointed that I didn't get the loan, or am I disappointed that I didn't get the house, or am I disappointed that everybody's going to know that I was expecting to get the mm-hmm. house?
Yeah.
And then I didn't get the house.
Yeah.
Have I been telling everybody that God was going to come through, and then now I'm disappointed because I feel like God didn't come through?
Yeah.
Or am I disappointed that the perception that other people aren't going to understand that God didn't come through? And I think there's a process to all of this, and trying to identify initially, why do I feel this way?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it always stems from, you know, past things in our life. It's funny you say, well, I've had a lot of experience with overcoming some of these things. Well, that's because I failed so many times mm-hmm. in my life.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, you come to a point where it's like, I'm either going to learn how to get up when I get knocked down, or I'm going to stay down.
Yeah.
Because I've failed so many times in my life.
Yeah.
That, you know, you have to determine whether or not you're going to allow the things in your life to keep you down, or whether to propel you into a level of faith. And I think, but to your point, Pastor Antonio, I think the hard part about all of this is people expect you, especially coming to church, people are always going to expect you to just be in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that right there alone is a weight that causes disappointment
mm-hmm.
because what tends to happen is, and you know, somebody loses a loved one, and now, and I've had so many conversations with people when we're in my office meeting about getting ready to do a funeral, and it's like, they know all the things to say when they come. No, this is a celebration. We're excited to see what God's going to do, but you can act. And I have to tell them, listen, the day of the service, prepare to be sad the minute you walk in the door and you see the pictures and you hear the music and you realize that this actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because if you don't process that now,
mm-hmm.
it's only going to be harder for you in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is because as Christians, right, we have that scripture, you know, it's like, we don't mourn the way that others mourn because we have a hope.
Yeah.
We understand where we're going. We understand that there's eternal life that's waiting for us. We understand all of that. But what I always tell people is, here's what the scripture doesn't say. The scripture doesn't say we don't mourn because we have a hope.
Yeah.
It says we don't mourn the way that others mourn.
Yes.
Because we have a hope,
yeah.
Right? So let's just throw disappointment in there. Mm-hmm. We don't get disappointed the way that others get disappointed because we have a hope. So what does that mean? That means that we understand that my today
mm-hmm.
is not going to be my tomorrow.
Yeah.
What I've experienced in the now is not going to be what I'm going to experience 10 years from now. Right. Mm-hmm. So what is it that I can do in the now, the process of what I can feel in the now? And I think that's where we have to take things. You know, it's like you say, well, what do you do in these times? You go to prayer.
Yeah.
You take a realistic self-assessment.
Yeah.
And you look at your life and you say, what is it that why am I feeling this way? You know, we've had many conversations even where there's a disappointment that hits me. And I'm like, man, I can see because of a disappointment in my childhood, something that happened when I was a kid, a rejection or whatever the case may be, that's allowing me to respond this way right now when I'm feeling rejected.
Yeah.
And it all stems from back when I was 7 years old. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden now I'm going right back there. Why? Because I never dealt with this problem.
Yeah.
And so I got to figure out how to not be so disappointed from when I was 7 years old that I'm allowing it to disappoint me when I'm 45.
Well, I do wonder if there's stuff that maybe we don't talk about it enough, because, you know, we are a faith-filled church and we speak faith, right? We have swords out, shields up, but that doesn't negate that there is grief. If you look at the children of Israel, there was a dedicated time of mourning, right? There was mourning clothes, right? There was a process. There's a whole book called Lamentations where there was lamenting that took place. There was grieving and mourning and recognizing. But then there was that time to switch out. But I think we just go to, oh, I'm switched out, and we think it's supposed to happen, and we have to post something on social media how we're all better, or we just hope no one's going to ask us. And I think that's the challenge that many of us might find ourselves in, where we don't, because we haven't grieved properly, and we don't know how to grieve properly in community. I think that's the other component, right? Because on the outside, we want to put on a face, but what am I really doing? I've talked about it on the podcast before. It's been a few years now, just past four years where we lost our baby. And right after we lost the baby, I started seeing a counselor. And the counselor asked me a question that really provoked some thinking in me. He was like, so what do you feel you lost the most? And I, you know, like, what do you mean? The baby, right? Like, we were supposed to have a baby. Like, no, what did that mean? When I unpacked it, I started to have the conversation. Like, well, I remember in preparation, like when you're going to have a baby, you prepare, right? You're preparing, you're thinking of a room. Now, I had three children already. And we were going to have three under three, which is going to be wild, but also very excited. I was excited. I was looking at minivans. I was preparing to tell people I have four kids, which is already a miracle, because part of our testimony is that we only had one for a very long time and we had trouble conceiving. And so it was like, I'm practicing my testimony. I'm excited. I'm like going to brag on God, which I think many people probably do. You're going to brag on God on the new job you got, the new house. you have the testimony planned.
It's Joseph.
And yeah, it's like it's all the good things, right? It's the dream that God gave you.
Yeah,
God gave me a word. He showed me things. I mean, we've had conversations like that, man. I see what God showed me, and the counselor just like, you have to grieve those little things.
Yeah,
recognize those things as a loss. So losing the baby also meant all those little things that you're grieving. You're sorrowful that, well, you don't need the minivan anymore. You're sorrowful that what you thought you were going to say. You're sorrow. Now, this is just me, all right? These are my personal emotions. My wife had her own. It affects family differently. But anyone in levels of disappointment, like you already mentioned, that you were thinking about what it was going to say. You were thinking about what life was going to look like. We have hope where we don't want to go. And, you mentioned you just saw the new Spider-Man. I'm getting ready to hopefully soon. So in preparation, I was catching up on Spider-Man. And there's that line that MJ says, right, where she's just like, well, if you don't plan on anything, you won't be disappointed. Something to that extent. I'm probably butchering the quote. But like, hey, if you don't get excited about anything, when it doesn't happen, you're not disappointed. Because disappointment is a rough feeling. Loss is a rough feeling. It hurts. It's not fun. So no one wants those things. But I don't think we want to turn our life into, well, if I don't look forward to anything, if I don't have hope for anything, if things just flow. But I think people stay there. And so I do want to speak to the people who maybe find themselves where they've been disappointed enough, where they've like, well, life has taught me that things aren't going to work out for me. Life has just shown me that you know, I try not to, they live in that MJ. I try not to get excited because, you know, knowing me, I said something the other day, something happened. I was trying to put together something and it went backwards. And I said, of course. And then in my mind, I had an inner dialogue. Like, what does that mean? Of course.
Yeah.
Well, you go to, well, of course it's going to happen the hard way. Of course it won't just work out the first time. And these are just micro things that we tell ourselves. Like, you know, of course it's the last place I look, right? Like, well, you wouldn't keep looking once you,
yeah.
It's always going to be in the last place you look because you get what I'm saying? But like, how much have we preconditioned ourselves for disappointment, for letdown, for it's going to be hard for me? And so Pastor Brian, I think the conversation that I think is worth having, not only can people relate to our own disappointments, but structuring our mindset and our life in a way that can absorb disappointments well.
Yeah.
And managing disappointments, I guess.
You know, I think one of the big things, Pastor Antonio, and I, you know, you had just said, I think we do have to come to the realization that there's always going to be disappointments, right? And I think where you want to be careful is, to your point, not to where we just expect like, oh, of course it's going to be bad, right? What we don't want to do is, you know, you always hope for the best, but you plan for the worst, right? What does that look like as you're preparing, as you're trying, you know, as somebody who's a planner,
mm-hmm.
right? I put my plans together, but best case scenario, I get excited when it actually happens,
mm-hmm.
but chances are it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So usually within my plan, I have, this is best case scenario, right? I'm going to build this room out. Best case scenario, it's going to cost me 10 grand.
Right.
Right. But there's a very real chance that once I start ripping out walls, I'm going to have to find, you know, electrical that I'm going to have to replace. This 2x4 needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm noticing all these other things because you start to uncover stuff, right? So best case scenario hardly ever happens, but it doesn't mean that you don't do the job. It just means that we have to have realistic expectations going into things. And I think that understanding too, you know, hard work always prevails. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, this isn't just, I'm not talking about just work wise,
mm-hmm.
but I think overcoming disappointment in everything that you do in life, you know, I mentioned Joseph, right? Well, Joseph, talk about disappointed. You have this vision from God, this dream.
Yeah.
And then the first thing that happens is your brothers sell you off into slavery.
Yeah.
Right. After, well, what first happens, they plan to kill you. Then you realize the relief when they decide to sell you off into slavery and let you out of the cistern, right? Okay, we're gonna take you out of that dry well and we're gonna go ahead and sell you now. Who would have ever thought that would be a sigh of relief?
Yeah.
But then you find yourself in Potiphar's house doing everything the right way, and then his wife lying about you, and then now going to prison, and now while you're in prison doing everything the right way, only to be forgotten about by the mm-hmm. guy who gets let out. By the way, you just got done saying, hey, you're getting released tomorrow. Yeah. When it happens, don't forget about me. Don't worry, I won't. 2 years go by, like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, by the way, there's something that, like, talk about a significant thing in your life. How disappointed could you be? But imagine in that time frame what would have happened if Joseph would have just allowed disappointment,
mm-hmm.
right? Then when the time comes that Pharaoh lets him out and he says, okay, I hear you can interpret dreams.
Yeah.
And he says, I can't interpret. Only God can do that.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me the time that he spent with God during that time was the preparation for that moment.
Yeah.
Because now I understand exactly how to respond because I know that God delivered me through all of these other things. And now here's the moment, but I'm not even going to begin to take credit for this. And I think that's where some of the stuff that we tend to do is, I think we believe some of our own fan mail enough, or mm-hmm. we believe some of our own hype, or we think, you know, we put so much of the eggs in our basket and our ability that we don't see what God is doing. And I remember when I was trying to get in the sheriff's department, I really thought I was going to be a sheriff. And the crazy thing, what 3 years of doing this, I had all the letters of recommendation. I had all of the open doors. Like, when, if I were to get into all of the things that were taking place and that happened, it was kind of like, there is no way.
Yeah.
That this is not going to happen unless God, this isn't what God has for me. Right. And so I remember going before God in prayer and I was like, God, listen, this door is open. I'm walking through it. But if it's not you, shut the door. And I'm going to do my best to work that stuff out in my
mm-hmm,
head.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So here's now the opportunity. The guy calls me up and he's like, hey, Brian, listen, I know I just got done telling you that I was going to make this happen.
Yeah.
I just need a little bit more time. because here's what's taking place in the world today, and this is why I can't bring you on. And for those listening, they know my testimony. I mean, I had to overcome a felony, and I got my record expunged and all this other stuff, but there was a lot going on in my life at the time. So this was going to be a huge testimony. And talk about, like, telling everybody, right? I'm telling everybody, I got the minivan.
Yeah.
Like, look, God's getting ready to make me a sheriff. I was in jail.
Yeah.
Like, I had a felony. Like, who could do this other than God? So is it the structure of the conversation? Am I disappointed because now I have to have all these conversations and with people when it doesn't happen and all of the fallout that goes along with it? Is it just the fact that I have to grieve? And I remember the guy calls me and he tells me why he can't do it. And in that moment, and it was probably one of the best times I've ever received disappointment, right? Because I told him, I said, you know, he says, I don't want you discouraged. I said, I'm not discouraged. I'm disappointed, but I'm not discouraged.
Yeah.
And I think identifying that is a key,
right?
Right? Because when we allow disappointment to become a discouragement, we never want our disappointment to discourage us from moving forward. Mm-hmm. And those are two totally different things. And I think that's where it's like, okay, the children of Israel, right? They mourned Moses.
Yeah.
They grieved when he died.
Yep.
But they didn't allow the disappointment of the fact that Moses wasn't going to lead them into the promised land to keep them from going into the promised land.
No, right? The time of mourning was done. That was a set time of mourning. They mourned, they grieved, they had the loss.
Yeah.
They thought Moses was going to be the guy that led them in, but now we got to move on.
So let's go, Joshua, and lead the way.
Let's go. Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to take the time to identify how I feel. I'm going to walk through this process. You know, it's funny. I think of the book of Psalms, right? When I read the book of Psalms, I literally have gotten to the point now where I envision David journaling.
Yeah.
Right? The way it always starts off, like, man, I'm surrounded by every side. God, where are you? I thought you were my helper. I thought you were going to deliver me. You've done it before. I've seen you show up with the armies. Oh man, something just happened as I was writing this out. God's going to do it again.
Yeah.
You are my strength. You are my strong tower. You are the one. And you literally can see the journaling process.
Like the
faith begin to stir because you took the time to write out what I really feel.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to feel disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's okay to allow yourself to go through processes sometimes where it's like, I don't understand.
Yeah. And there's spiritual permission. Maybe it's like, so we don't Jesus glitter or over spiritualize hurt, grief, and loss.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we haven't as faith filled people landed well on that, but there's the spiritual permission that we see in Scripture. Now don't camp out.
Yeah.
Don't hang out. You know, I don't know. I wouldn't give a prescription to say, give a 30-day mourning process, whatever mourning process you and the Holy Spirit, you have to do those. There's going to be grief, and grief comes in places. Things, you know, there's all kinds of new science that we understand about what the heart connections. And God is for science, and He helps us understand our brain and what all. So I don't want to get into that portion of it. But what the point I am bringing up is, I think it's a really cool. You brought up the Psalms, and I think of the Psalm because even in disappointment, it's important for us to understand God did not leave us. We have to land there. See, because sometimes I think we'll be disappointed. This must have happened because God left me, or I messed up, and God took His hand off of me. But we just can't get away from the Psalms that says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So when we are brokenhearted, it didn't say because the Lord is with you, you will not be brokenhearted. I'd love that.
Yeah,
I'd love that. Because you are God's, you will not be crushed. Wait. I'm crushed in spirit. I'm brokenhearted. Wait, I got here.
Yeah.
But yet the Lord is with us, and He's going to be with us. And I think those are the things that give us the fuel, that give us the faith to get up the next day, to try again, to start the process that you started the podcast off with kind of listing off the assessments and kind of getting into this mode. And if you ever wonder how successful people do some of these things, is because they don't take disappointments and just let it define them. They do what you just rattled off, because now that's just become the faith process for you.
But see, that comes at you look at Peter, right? Peter, like, this is a guy that walked with Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Miracle signs and wonders that took place. He actually got invited to go pray with Jesus right before Jesus was put to death. Like,
yeah,
it's like, I'm only bringing three of you,
yeah, yeah,
right? and I'm one of the three.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with, like, he had a little bit more proximity, a little more clout, mm-hmm. right? You would say, like, probably different conversations mm-hmm. that would go, mm-hmm. like, he was probably let in a little bit more than most, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus tells him, hey, you're going to deny me. Like, there's no way. I literally was just getting ready to, like, swinging a sword around, ready to chop some people's heads off, knowing that there's more guards than me. And I'm really ready to die in this moment right now.
Yeah.
But something happened from the moment that when Jesus was being arrested, right? There's still hope mm-hmm. because he's not drug off yet.
Yeah.
Like, I could still stop this right now.
Yeah.
So here he has a hope as he's wielding his sword, but then something changes. Now you're here and you see him on trial and your hope is now taken mm-hmm. from you.
Yeah.
Right. And so now disappointment goes to discouragement. He now denies Jesus three times. And we all know the story. He walks away from the things, you know, Jesus is gone. I'm going to go back to fishing, doing my own thing. But then all of a sudden now when he's approached with Jesus and he has that moment, hey, do you love me more than these? I'm going to send you back out and I'm going to get you to go do the things. Now, here's what happened. He didn't allow history to repeat itself.
Right. You're right.
And I think that's the biggest. Okay. So I'm going to identify what happened in that moment that got me to a place where I was ready to walk away from the call that God put on me. Right. To now I'm going to identify those things and I'm going to make sure that I don't end up in this position again. And I think that's where we have to do these assessments. Okay. I did deny Jesus three times. Like, now I have to confess him three times.
Yeah. Yeah.
I denied him three times, but now he's asking me three different times. Do you love me more than these? Why do you keep asking me the same question? Well, could it be because you denied me three times and mm-hmm. now I'm going to make you redeem that back.
Yeah.
Right. Could be. But the fact of the matter is here we find ourselves in this moment. Okay. I know I did wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Even walking away, what was so disappointed that he knew that he was going to do it. And he said he wasn't going to, but he did it anyways. Right. Mm-hmm. There's the disappointment, the discouragement. So you walk away and you abandon everything that God had told you to do.
Yeah.
But now you're met with this opportunity again. Are you going to stay in that moment or are you going to turn it around?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest thing. That's going to be the difference between, like, to your point, grief. And not everybody's grief process is the same. This is the one thing that it's like, well, I grieve this person lost a child or lost a loved one or lost a spouse and they were remarried in a year.
Right.
Well, I don't feel like I'm supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah. It doesn't look the same.
Yeah. You can't line your life up with everybody else's life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You line your life up with what God is telling you.
I do think there is so much value in community because otherwise we are going to do the based off the headlines of either social media or hearing through the grapevine. If you're in community and you are honest, and again, it's the scripture in James, confess your sins, having people in your life that you can, hey man, I was disappointed about this. I'm feeling this. You know, the other day I was like, it came later. I was like, I think I'm disappointed about this. And I didn't want to land there. I didn't want to, because sometimes when you identify disappointment, you have to act like you have to recognize that you cared or acknowledge that you cared. You wanted to let that roll off me. I didn't want that to be something that could disappoint me, but it did. And so now I'm coming to it later. And now I got to deal with it. Well, how I'm dealing with it in journaling, in praying, I'm confessing, I'm having this conversation. Like, hey, I think, and the person I was talking to, Angelina. Why do you think that was? You know, just some thought-provoking questions that will help me kind of land and get there. And so, again, in being in community with someone, having someone to dialogue with, a believer, a Christian, a faith-filled person that's not going to – and they're not going to judge you. Oh, you're still disappointed about that?
Yeah.
It's been 6 months. It's been a week, and you're still – you know, like that they're going to listen to you. They're going to get you on track. They're going to not judge your process of your grief and walk you through – getting on the other side of disappointment, because going back to it, God has so much for us and disappointment is not the end. Right. Yeah. And I think going back to that scripture, like he has good things in plan for us, things of good and not of evil. And you know, the song, if I'm not dead, I'm not done.
Yeah.
Right. Like, hey, there's more to come. Like there's more on the other side of these things, these little disappointments, let them be fuel, let them become learning experiences, but let's get on the other side of this disappointment. Let's not camp and let's really find out what God, the direction that he would have for us. Pastor Brian, any closing thoughts?
You know, I just to kind of go up, some of these things, and I feel like I just need to say this right now too. Some of these disappointments can't be alleviated by fixing your FICO score.
That's good. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some of them aren't going to be able to be alleviated by getting rid of some of your revolving debt or moving some pieces around. Okay, I'm gonna go to get a class done so that I can be better qualified for this position later on. I think we do have to identify that. Some of it's only going to come, again, going back to Joseph, I'm just going to trust God in this process. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And I think, and those are probably the hardest ones because I do a really good job at the stuff that I can control. Like if I can check some balances now, God has shown me that there is a lot of stuff that's outside of my control.
Yeah.
And the good thing is the more you trust God in those processes. See, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? So now I know the next time this happens, I'm going to get through it, not because I know I'm going to be able to get through it, but because I'm going to know that God got me through the last time.
Yeah.
And so we have to identify those moments. We have to identify what God has done in the past and not forget about those things. You know, the children of Israel bring it. It's like build these landmarks, set up these stones. Why? So when your children ask you about them, you're going to be able to tell them how he delivered you, how he brought you through, how he brought you through the river on dry ground, mm-hmm. right? There's going to be elements of this that are going to identify. And we have to set these identifying markers mm-hmm. in our life so yeah. that we can go back. You know, I got this little, somebody gave it to me at a conference I was at. It's this little tiny jar and it's got a mustard seed mm-hmm. in it, mm-hmm. right? And I got it sitting on my desk right underneath my computer screen.
Yeah.
Why? Because there are so many times in my life and in my position now at work, yeah. that something gets brought to me or I get asked to do an assignment or maybe I get asked in a spiritual guidance where I'm like, how the heck am I going to manage this? How am I going to get through? I don't have the ability to do what I'm being asked to do.
Yeah.
And I look at that mustard seed, right? And I'm reminded, if I can have faith, that much faith,
yeah,
I can say to that mountain, be cast into the sea and it shall be done.
Yeah.
That mustard seed is a stone that is a reminder of what God has done for me all throughout my life mm-hmm. that's going to get me back on track. And so yeah. it's important to identify, to put things in our life that are going to continue to propel us. And I think even you said relational, mm-hmm. right? And we have to be willing to be open. Like, how many conversations have we had? You know all the stuff that I've been able to overcome because I've shared so much about what yeah. I've gone through.
Yeah.
And what I'm going through and yeah. the things that I'm dealing with, because we can have real conversation. Yes. And I don't think that I don't have to pretend like right. I got everything put yes. together
yeah.
when I go into your office
right.
or when you
right.
come into mine.
Yeah.
I can be a real person.
There's levels of trust. And
yeah. I think yeah. that's where having people in your life, and if somebody that you have, that you love, that you felt like you can trust, if they're going to be the one that throws stuff back in your face, it's not to say you can't love that person. Right. It's not to say that you right. can't hang out. Just don't trust that person yeah. with some of your deepest, darkest secrets, but find someone that can walk through a process with you. Because I think the biggest thing that we have to identify is we are not the only people yeah. in our, yes. in our life
yeah.
that gets disappointed.
Yes.
Because the enemy wants us to believe,
yeah.
oh
yeah.
everybody else you go to church mm-hmm. with has faith.
Oh yeah.
And you don't.
Look at them. They got what they asked the first time, they got it the first time. Look at their kids. Look at their this. Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You the first fight, somebody gets married and they get and they're right. like, but I want that marriage.
Right. Well, when you preach, when you minister and you share some of the things God's brought you through, I bet you every time you get someone new saying, I didn't know that about you.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah.
Right? Because they assume a certain level. But we're all walking this out. We're all living through these things. We all face disappointments and have letdowns. And the only difference between any of us, man, we're just getting back up.
Yeah.
We're getting back up.
You can't give up.
Yeah. Well, you know, Pastor Brian, thank you for your time. Thanks for this conversation. Our prayer is that you would overcome some of these disappointments, these hurts. And again, I know we gave some examples that maybe the examples or what you're going through feels a little bit deeper. Oh, I can't relate to that. Let's talk about it. Talk in the group chat, whatever, like, comment, subscribe, all those amazing things. We're here for you. We're praying for you. We love you. Until next time, talk to you soon.
God bless you.